Tove. All right. This year, welcome back to the Weekly Shear. It's been a little break. My bad. But good to be back. This year is for your Refuah Shlema of Ora Teferet Bat Esther Shoshana. Okay. Chodesh Iyar. I always try and challenge myself and not do something typical or something that I've learned before, even just because I want to explore the different areas of Torah that either aren't commonly discussed or I haven't looked at too deeply. And this year I chose Chodesh Iyar. Last year I talked about Sfira. There's a lot to talk about regarding Sfira, and there's definitely some overlap here. But there's a month here that really its identity, and we'll see how true this really is that it lacks identity, right? Nisan is the Chodesh of Geula. Sivan is the Chodesh of Matan Torah. It is really one and goes hand in hand with the Chag of Shavuos and this is the Chag of Pesach. And then there's Iyar, which has no holiday in it. And really its whole identity is the fact that it's right after Pesach and right before Shavuos, which is like literally what a middle child, from what I hear, feels like. Look, I'm that guy's younger brother and that guy's older brother. You know, like they're kind of just in the middle, and Iyar needs to be understood, maybe on a different level. And what's funny is that when I looked into it, I found that a lot of Chazal talk about Iyar as if it's not so forgotten, as if there's a really good reason to look into it. Because there's what to talk about. And that makes it all the more intriguing to understand really what is Iyar. And if you've been to my shiur before, you'll know that I don't just want to try and understand it, but really what are we supposed to be doing and thinking during this month? So, as you'll see, or you may already have seen, there are only two sources on the Daf Makoros. There are only two sources. Two sources from Chassidus. One is Rav Tzedakah Kohen Milublin. The other is the Bnei Yisaskar. And they discuss, they bring some Kabbalistic sources, some Midrashim, and they have their own twist on what Iyar means. And I don't claim to understand exactly what at each point they're making is, but it's worth mentioning some of them and discussing some of them. And I'm going to start with the most complicated one. Beginning of source number one is Rav Tzedakah Kohen talking about Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's in his Sefer of the Pri Tzadik. He quotes the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah is a book that supposedly Avram Avinu wrote. Unclear really how it came about, how it was passed on. There are other people that know a lot more about it, about the Sefer Yetzirah, than I do. But it basically talks about, as it is called, the different elements that were involved in the creation of the world. Which, again, is something that a typical person shouldn't be able to understand. The Ramban Ala Torah very famously states in the beginning of his Perush Ala Torah that when trying to understand on a deep level the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, the creation of the world, please just try and understand what the words mean, and that even that's not too easy, and then move on. And that's the Ramban talking. So he says it's just not something that we could hopefully understand, that we could hope to understand too deeply, and yet there's this book called the Sefer Yetzirah, which talks about, again, things that are inherently confusing, because they're, I don't know how much we're meant to truly understand them, which talks about the different elements of creation. Sefer Yetzirah says the following statement regarding Chodesh Iyar, or really Chodesh Nisan also. He basically, the Sefer basically discusses a system by which each month was created. Months had to be created also. Time was a creation. And each month seems to have been created using a letter and using a type of action that brought that letter into the world. Besides the typical action of speech. So here's what Sefer Yetzirah says about Nisan and Iyar. It says, The Sefer Yetzirah in Parakeh, it says, he's talking about Chodesh Iyar, Himlich Os Vav Behirhor, that God gave... Oh, you only have the second side. Okay, it's two-sided for the other. Whatever. God empowered, or in some way gave Iyar its Malchus using the letter Vav, and he did it with the power of Hirhur. Hirhur being thinking, right? Hirhur tshuva, Hirhur tshuva, thinking of tshuva, contemplation. So what, again, I don't know what that means, but there's something inherently similar or connected, Chodesh Iyar and the letter Vav, and the letter Vav is connected to the month of Iyar through the power of contemplation. Thought. Hahevdel, he says, Shabein Hirhur Lamachshava. There's a difference between these two words that are called thought. Machshava is also called thought. So what's the difference between Hirhur and Machshava? The Machshava b'moach, v'Hirhur b'lev. Machshava is something you do intellectually with your mind. You think about things. Whereas Hirhur is more of an imagination or a heart, or an emotional thinking, if you will. And therefore, there's some emotional aspect of this. The lave gets involved. And then he says, Kamosha matzinu maharher belibo. Ubelave yesh lave chacham limino, velave ksil lismono. There are two sides of the lave. So a person, the wise lave and the simple or the foolish lave. Again, I'm just quoting so we understand what he's saying. Hashem yisparach shochin belave Yisrael. And God resides in the heart of Israel. There's a nice idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Liban Shai Yisrael, says in the Medrash and Shir Hashirim. Fine. And he goes on, if you go to the next paragraph where the underlines start, four lines down, he says, Chodesh Nisan Nivra Be'os Hei, Hei Tita'e Knesses Yisrael, She'az Kiblu Ol Malchuso. That God created the month of Nisan with hay, and hay is like the crown, it's the malchus of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why hay was for Nisan, because it was the month that the Jewish people took upon themselves the ol malchus, the kingship of God. Ubematan Torah. Az haya hayichud v'zachul izgalos havaya panim b'fanim diber Hashem imachem. V'chodesh iyar, fine. So Chodesh Nisan, there is this revelation of God. There is this appearance of God as their king, and because of that, the letter He was used to create Chodesh Nisan, because He is inherently connected to Malchus. There's a beautiful idea about this that's separate. I don't want to go into it because it's a whole shiur in itself. But what different shapes of the letters, and they mean different things. And I heard this that Os Yud is the letter that represents God more than any other letter. And the simple reason is because Yud is the smallest way of representing something in this world, which shows that there's really no way to represent it in this world. And God is something, by definition, can't be put into tangible evidence. He's not something that is Gashmi. And therefore, the only way he can be represented in this world is the smallest amount of Gashmi, the little Yud. What is hay? Hay is creating some sort of house, some sort of environment for that yud to live in, which is the malchus shemayim in this world. When we are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we are mekabel ol malchus shemayim, so we're creating a house for God in this world. Very interesting thing. This connects, actually, to the difference between man and woman. Ish and Isha are basically the same words, just one has a Yud and the other has a He. And Yud is pure spirituality, and man is pure spirituality. He kind of is directionless. He kind of just goes and does and has all these different ways of doing things. And then the woman comes and says, no, no, no. You need to pick up after yourself over here and take the garbage out, and you need to build a house. And they're the ones that know how to structure spirituality. But interesting idea.
Well, wasn't Martin Torah in?
Correct, but this is the catalyst. This is the beginning of the plan. God said, now I'm your God, and the next step is Matan Torah. You're right, though. Fine. And then he says, Uba Chodesh Iyar, this is the second line, and the other line's more, a little more than halfway through. Chodesh Iyar comes, but Os Vav, Os Emes. I don't know why it's the Os Emes, I'm not going to go into it. But it's the letter of truth, Vav. Usvas Emes Tichon La'ad. And the Zohar, quoting Sfas Emes, I don't know how that connects to Vav again. Shayuchba La'ol Me'ad, to be Iyar Haya Ha'achana L'matan Torah, Sha'az Panam B'fanam Dira Hashem Yimachem. Ubeir haya hachana al yedei haman, right? So lots of things happened in Iyar. In Iyar, there was the preparation for Matan Torah. I imagine he's referring to this to the 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer, because the 3 days before Matan Torah wasn't in Iyar. Then there was also the man that happened in Iyar, which was an amazing one-time experience where we had soul food and everything that went on regarding that. V'yochlu asaman v'yishtu, sorry, v'yishtu me'a be'er, v'hatorah mit yashevet begufan. There seems to be, he's quoting a Medrash Tanchuma, that the man and the water from the be'er seem to have spiritual elements in it that brought Torah into our bodies. Very interesting idea. So that's an amazing, unique thing that took place in Chodesh Iyar. V'chein haya v'ir mechias amalek. And the war against Amalek, where we beat Amalek, happened in Iyar. And this is one of the most important ways of preparing for Matan Torah, by abolishing the Yetzer Hara from within ourselves. Amalek hu Yetzer Bisha, the Zohar quotes. V'zeh achana l'matan Torah. Fine. Shavi Iyar himlich os vav melucha u'memshala. That somehow this is connected to Os Vav. Again, he doesn't explain why Vav, what's Vav's place here. But Iyar, lots of important and unique things happened that were specifically there as a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And that's why it is this important month that is instrumental in getting us to the month of Sivan and the event of Kabbalah Satorah. Now, the idea of Vav getting us, preparing us for Kabbalah Satorah, can be explained in a more simple way that Vav, I would think, you know what, you could probably get this. What does Vav mean to you? What is the word Vav, in its most basic, the letter Vav, in its most basic form? What is it used for more than any other? Vav HaChibur, right? It connects. And in that way, if you think about it, Vav is also identified, not inherently, but by the things that come before it and come after it. Right? Something that is a connector of other things. So its identity is the fact that there are other things that become connected as a result of it. And therefore, its definition is really based on its ability to connect other identifiable things. And therefore, Vav really does go hand-in-hand with Chodesh Iyar. Iyar being the way to connect, if we're going to use this idea, connect whatever happened in Nisan, which is the beginning of the kingship of Hashem over the Jewish people, us accepting God as our king, and the event of Matan Torah. And it seems that it would not be possible for us as the Jewish people to go straight from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, and we needed some entity, seems the combination of the time of Chodesh Iyar, the weeks in between, as well as the different events that help prepare us, the Man, the Be'er, the Milchemes Amalek, to prepare us for Matan Torah and make us fit to receive the Torah. So there is this relationship, these three entities, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, and Iyar plays this essential role of connecting Nisan to Sivan. We'll see how this idea is developed further. Now here's where it gets a little interesting, a little different. Not that it wasn't interesting until now. There's a different girsa of this Sefer Yetzirah. There's a different version of it. Not necessarily that it's a different letter, but it's a different action that is associated with that letter in that month. The next paragraph says, "V'girsas ha-ga'onim." The ga'onims have a different girsa of Sefer Yetzirah that says, "B'nisan himlich oshei b'ri'iya, u'b'iyar himlich osvav b'shmiya." There are two different qualities or actions that took place that were involved in the creation of these months. The oshei of Nisan was done through ri'ya, through seeing or sight. And the os vav used to create ear was done through shmia, through hearing, listening. V'ha inyan, and this is what how he explains. Kemosha shamati merabeinu akadosh zecher tzadik ukadosh levracha. I don't know who he's referring to. Shabbat Nisan, haya rak mi chesed Hashem. V'haya his galos rak levi sha'a b'leil yitzias Mitzrayim. V'achar kach ne'alam. The event of yitzias Mitzrayim in Chodesh Nisan was a temporary revelation of God that happened on that night, and afterwards it went away. U'bekriyas Yamsuf zachu rak l'ri'iyah. And in Kriyas Yamsuf, the amazingness of the event was that we saw it. The famous, he quotes it right there, the famous medrash that is going on the pasuk in Az Yashir of Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. So the medrash quotes that when they said Zeh, this, they were pointing to something. And we're just saying this, everything. There was something specific they were pointing to. And they were pointing to God. And that's a weird thing to do because we are taught from the early age, Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere, so there's nowhere to point, or there's everywhere to point. Except, on Kriyas Yamsuf, they were pointing to a specific place, whether it was up or forward, hard for me to know. But the Medrash says, in the Mechilta, Ra'asa Shivcha Bayam, Mashalora Ra'asa Ra'a Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Yecheskel the Navi famously saw the prophecy, famously known as Ma'isa Merkava, where he literally saw a revelation of God himself riding on a chariot in heaven with the different angelic figures in front pulling the chariot. It was known as the most ridiculous prophecy, ridiculous in a good way. The most revealed that God ever was to a person was that. So much so that there's Gemara that says that a child once tried to delve deeply into that story, and he spontaneously combusted. So don't try that at home. First chapter of Yecheskel, just read it and move on for your own life. And yet, there was a simple maidservant walking through Kriyas Yamsuf that saw something more spectacular than that, than God himself. And it must have been that the revelation of God was so much clearer and so direct, but it was all through the eyes, all through vision. That is the point that he's trying to make. V'ne'elam mehem gamkein achar kach ha'or. But the point about sight is, it doesn't last. It goes away just the same way that it was there. V'cha'inyan chozek ha'chasidus b'tchilaso. Right? It's the age-old story of inspiration fading. Inspiration is something that exists on the outside that you see and it fades, or that you feel or you receive. But inspiration is something that's not in you. It's something that hits you, and it's hard to keep it. It fades away. She'amar Rabbeinu Rebbeinu Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Uvracha She'al Zeh Ne'emar Al Tomar She'ayim Rishon Tov Me'ila Ki Lo Gavchach Mashal Dov Seder. Okay, and then the underline, the next. U'b'Sivan, in Chodesh Sivan, Zachu B'Kinyan. In Chodesh Sivan, it wasn't just a superficial seeing, vision of this revelation of God, but they were kona it, they acquired it, it became a part of them. V'amar she'iyar, fine. So we see the process, we see the two bookends. This is what Rav Tzadok is trying to build. Nisan was the initial contact, the initial exposure, I guess is the word I'm trying to say, to God himself. Sivan was when we acquired God, as the Medrash famously talks about, I believe it's a Gemara, that it was a wedding, that we literally were acquired by God, or we acquired him in the same way, that a husband and a wife become one. And yet there's this middle ground, Chodesh Iyar, and he continues to say, V'amr she'iyar nivra ba'os vav she'kasu b'shem revaygon, de'havav mechaber, like we just said. Nikra vav milashon vay amudim, like pillars that hold something up, v'chein suras, the identity of Vav is that it connects two things. In this case, it's connecting the vision or the dream to the reality, the dating to the marriage. How do you get there? You have to get through ER. Whatever ER is, you have to get through it. This is the next underline. Chodesh Nisan v'Chodesh Sivan sheyizku b'Sivan b'Kinyan b'Masha zachu b'Nisan b'Re'iyah. We were Zocha without our own efforts to see this amazing revelation in Nisan, and suddenly, after that, we were Zocha to be Kone, to acquire it. The only way we were able to do that is through Iyar. Again, we're still not explaining exactly what Iyar is, but we are explaining its mechanism, its function, how it works. V'zesha amr b'nisan v'ra'iya v'Iyar b'shmiya. Shehashmiya kabbalah b'lev. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. What's the difference between Re'iyah and Shmiyah? Re'iyah is something that exists outside of your body. There's a reason why. Now, I didn't do pre-med. No, I really didn't do any bio in college. I took two really simple sciences, and one of them was in Ramapo College summer school, which is extremely easy, and it was called physical geography, which is like the study of dirt. Didn't do science, but from what I understand, despite the fact that in reality there is a hole in your eyeball, which is how light goes in and it's interpreted by the rods and the cones and that stuff, if I'm remembering high school correctly, if you look at an eyeball, it's a ball. It's not a receptacle of any kind. Nothing goes in. In fact, if something goes in, you're in big trouble. Right? So its very existence as an eyeball, even though it's taking in sight, nothing's going in. It's just observing. And what you're seeing and you are two different things. Whereas, and this is not by coincidence, when you hear something, there are sound waves going through a hole in your head into your brain. And that's how you would picture it happening. Sound is going inside of your face. That's what's happening. And it's a completely different experience. Now, we often simply say this is one of the senses, and this is another one of the senses, and I sense things through sight, and I sense other things through sound, and what's the big deal? But on a fundamental level, seeing something is only a superficial form of sensing it, whereas hearing something is an internalization of that thing. Now, we're talking only in the realm of theory or philosophy here, as Rav Tzadok often does. But he says, how does ER work? It works in the realm of Shmia, where something that was on the outside suddenly goes in the hole in our head, inside our brains, and we internalize it. Whereas Nisan, despite it being the greatest revelation in the history of the world, that revelation existed purely in the form of Re'iyah. It was outside of us. And therefore, in order to get from a state of observing something extremely important and life-changing and bring that into our bodies to the point where we acquire that and it becomes a part of us, which is Sivan, which is Matan Torah, receiving it, you need to go through the process of internalization, literally eating the information, if you will, but ears, so we're going to be internalizing it through our ears. And that's the process. It's outside, it goes inside, and then it's a part of us. That is the process of Nisan, Iyar Sivan, says Rav Tzadok, quoting Rav Hai Gaon.
Question?
Yes?
What were we internalizing through the Torah?
What exactly were we internalizing? There are a couple of answers. I don't know if there's one specific answer, but he did mention, just to go back to quoting him, is the preparation for receiving the Torah was a purification process, and the process of Sfirat HaOmer is often seen as not doing stuff, but more peeling away layers of gook that we acquired from Mitzrayim, to the point where we're pure enough to receive the Torah properly and merit receiving something as amazing and as holy as the Torah. So we were internalizing, perhaps, a way of life or the idea of God being our God, of us being His. And through the interrelation of that idea, I think our behaviors were changing, our approach to life was changing, things like that. On a tachlis level, there's probably more Kabbalah that goes into what exactly. I mean, there is Kabbalah about each week of Sfiras, a different element of the Sfiros that are at play, and the Yesod Shabbat Feris, and the Gvura Shabbat Chesed, and all these things that we're working on each day which are different combinations. You've all heard of those things at one point or another, right? And it's different mitos within us, which are elements of the creation of man that we're working on. We're trying to tap into and purify to the point where all of our being is somehow pure in time for Matan Torah. So, again, I'm not speaking as a master of these ideas, but to some extent we are doing a purification or internalization of truth, and maybe that's what he means by Vav being the letter of Emes, of the idea that God exists and he's in our life and he really is our master, and everything that is contrary to that idea should fall away. That's what Ir is about. I'm getting to a point where God's going to reveal himself and give me the Torah. Ir is about everything else needing to fall away, needing to be peeled off. Very nice. Thanks for helping clarify that. Fine. Now, there's an interesting thing that the Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shur, who was a brilliant Rav Mashkiach in Yeshiva Torah Vadas, not alive anymore. His son, Rav Avram Shur, is a big magish here in New York, and very fiery, very all business, and he gives some amazing shirim, has a few sfarim out that are very attractive sfarim. People like to read them. Halekach v'halivuv is one of his sfarim on the Torah, and he has Haggadah. Anyways, so he discusses this idea. He brings this sort of tzedek, and he mentions this interplay between Shmi and Re'iyah in a very interesting way. He says, and he's working off Rav Haigon, what he said, and Rav Tzadok, about the idea of Re'iyah being superficial and Shmi'ah being internalization. But he says, Re'iyah and Shmi'ah each have an advantage and a disadvantage, or something good about them, something superior, something inferior. Re'iyah, as a superior quality or sense, it allows us to take in lots of information at once. Sight, we can see something, we can see a huge picture. Now again, on a fundamental level, we're not just talking about physical sight, but the idea of sight is you can take in a really big idea at once, but superficially. Whereas Shmia, listening to something, you can't listen to two things at once. If you've been around kids, let's say in an airplane, or even not, and two kids need something at the same time and they ask you for it, you probably didn't hear what either of them wanted from you. And it's because, for some reason, although God made it that we can see lots of things at once, we can't hear lots of things at once. And this is the famous idea in the Gemara and Megillah, that if there are two people reading Megillah Esther at the same time, you're not Yotze. Why? Famous quote, Trei Kali Lo Mishtamai, two voices aren't discernible at the same time. You guys know why that's a famous line? Good, you're about to. What?
For teachers?
For teachers, that, well, maybe also. I can't hear both of you, that's a good point. But there's a famous tshuva, I believe, of the Tzitz Eliezer, when talking about Kol Isha, that if you've ever been to a summer camp, you have probably utilized this kula without even knowing it. That the question is, how do you get around some of the issues involving Kol Isha? How is it possible that only, you know, that you women can just never sing? When is it ever possible for women to sing? And he brings a wild kula that says, actually, as long as two women are singing at the same time, or two voices are singing at the same time, it's all good. And it's mutter completely. Why? Well, I have a proof for you. If two people are reading the Megillah, the Gemara says you're not Yotzi because you can't discern their voices. If you can't discern their voices, then how could you possibly be over on Kol Isha if one of them's a woman? So, it's all good. Now, this is a heter, and it's important to understand the function of a heter, meaning it is not used for fun whenever you want, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. It's used when there is a need to use it, and there is a posik there saying this is an appropriate time to use that heter. But that's why that line has become very famous in modern halacha, because it was used in that context. Anyways, in this context, Rav Shur says, Re'i allows you to see the big picture. Shmia, by its very nature, is you can't see anything more than one little thing. Whereas Shmia has the upper hand in the sense that it is deep. You can internalize something. whereas Re'iyah is only superficial, like we mentioned before. So we need the interplay between these two elements in order to get a complete package here. You can't perceive God in a very minute, small way, because God is much bigger than whatever one element you're perceiving him. So you need this massive revelation of God in Chodesh Nisan in order to truly understand from the very beginning what it is we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a savior, a guy with a stick who can do something special. We're dealing with a grand master plan brought about, the beginning of which is this amazing series of revelations of miracles. And this is really the beginning of the story of the history of the destiny of the Jewish people and the universe that is going to be led by us, the Jewish people. All of that was revealed, all of that whole plan. Again, God was saying it to Moshe to tell the Jewish people as it was happening. I have this whole plan for you. They were seeing everything at once. You could only do that through Re'iyah. So Re'iyah was needed. But if it stopped at Re'iyah, the minute God left, the minute God stopped performing those miracles, then it would be extremely difficult to hold on to all those ideas. Our brains don't retain that information that well. So you need to go through the process of Shmia. Think about it as the process of slowly taking notes and slowly going through all these bits and pieces of information individually and processing them through a period of 7 weeks, or in this case, the month, which is the majority of these weeks, where we internalize what we just went through, where we have a destiny. I can't just do whatever I want now. I have a responsibility to my people, to my God, to the destiny of the world. How do I take this responsibility seriously? I have certain commandments, some of which I was commanded already. That was my other answer to you. They were given Rosh Chodesh, they were given Shabbos, they were given a few other things. These are things that are obligations, right? There's a series of thoughts, of mental processes that have to take place in order to really understand what just took place in Nisan. Because if it stays at Nisan, we're doomed. And then Sivan is when we receive the practical way of internalizing these ideas, which is the mitzvah. My theory, and it's probably heresy, so I warn you, but I'm okay being recorded and quoted on this, because I don't fully believe what I'm saying, but perhaps, that the whole issue with the Jewish people in Chet HaEgel and the rest of the Midbar, which if you read Sefer Bamidbar, it's one of the most depressing Sfarim, we're about to get to it, in the world. It's just the process of the Jews messing up over and over and over again, and God telling them, if you continue to mess up, it's going to go really badly, and then here we are in Golos, right? So it's a really depressing Sefer. That whole issue goes back to this idea of Shmia. That this Re'iyah thing, we were stuck on Re'iyah. And it was so unbelievable that we needed to constantly figure out how to go back to the state of Re'iyah, and we weren't necessarily appreciating the Shmia process, the Chodesh Iyar process, enough. Saying, I need to work on this, I need this to be internalized in order for me to really understand what it is I'm supposed to do. It's not just about the big show, it's about the work afterwards. What was Chet HaEgel, if you think about it? Chet HaEgel was saying, God's not here, Moshe's not here, we need to create a laser light show and go back to our Kriyas Yamsuf days when God was spectacular, and that's how I know how to serve God, through these amazing experiences. And they recreated this amazing gold, you know, event. And they didn't see that really what they should be doing is working on that process and figuring out how to internalize what just took place. Interesting. The heresy part is, what do I know about how they messed up? But and how could I say that if I wasn't there? So, but it could be. It could be that the Shmia... There's a medrash that backs me up. Oh gosh, we're going on a tangent. There's a medrash that backs me up that says when they did Chet HaEgel, Moshe said to them, you lost your Na'asa, now hold on to your Nishma. Whoa. What does that mean? They said Na'asa and Nishma. It was an amazing thing. And the Nasa Manishma means we're going to do it, and then we're going to internalize it after, and we work on it, but the doing it is going to be the most important thing. And there's this whole change of reality where we didn't need to work in order to do things, which is Adam Harishon Kodem Achet. We'll talk later about this another time. But they lost that, which is why Luchos Shnios came, and we have to work in order to do things, and now we have to have kavana when we daven, and all those things. But the Shmiya, the internalization, is our avoda now. And that's really kind of what he's saying. Like, you messed up in your avoda of internalizing, now that's going to be your entire avoda. Kind of a mina kanayim mina thing. Anyways, fine. Now there's this Shem Yishmo that I'm going to go through more the important concepts here, because he quotes the same idea. But he elaborates on it in a very unique and interesting way. He says the following. This is the underlines, like 8 lines down in the paragraph. I quoted the whole thing because it's a nice read and it's interesting to look at on your own time, like I often do. But I want to go to the underlines for the sake of time. This is the Chodesh Iyar where people have to really put in an effort in terms of their kavana, their intentions. What are they doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? Shehamevukash meha adam einenu kishehu roa es ha'alokus be'enof. Here we go. What is asked of man in this world is not when things are perfectly clear to us and revealed. That's not our avoda. Our purpose in this world is not, God's not checking how we behave when things are clear to us, when everything's perfect, when everything's going right, when it's a bright morning. That's not what he's looking at. We don't need Olam Hazeh for all the birthday parties and for all the nice stuff when everything makes sense. That's not what Olam Hazeh is about. That's what Olam Haba is about, when you see God face to face and you have the whole plan in front of you and everything's great. Olam Hazeh is when you don't have the plan and when you don't see God and when you don't have clarity in most things in your life, right? V'im kein kol kavanas hanisim v'ha'aros ha'gedolo shel chodesh nisan hayu hachana levad limei ha'hester v'choshech. Revolutionary. Unbelievable. He totally changes this concept, and he turns it on his head. So why are we getting all these revelations in Chodesh Nisan? It's not that we're doing Chodesh Nisan, and that's the point, and then Iyar is an attempt to internalize Chodesh Nisan in order to get to Sivan. It's that Nisan is a preparation for Iyar. Do you hear how crazy that is? That the whole point of having a revelation to begin with is to give us the motivation and the tools to go through the important process of why this is even here to begin with, which is Iyar, which is the internalization process. That's the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Iyar is the purpose of Nisan. Wild. Achar ha-histalkus ha-aras ha-Nisan. Ulekayim ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. The whole point of Nisan is to have that flash of light so that when it's dark again in Chodesh Iyar, we could get to the point where we say the line in Micha, ki eshev b'choshech, even when I'm sitting in darkness, Hashem orli, I can understand, I can appreciate, I can internalize, and I can see that light even though it's not revealed in front of me. And he expounds on this idea. Go to the next page. He says, and the point is that if you go through the process properly, you'll be able to bring Nisan with you into Iyar. Not in an attempt to review Nisan, but to use Nisan to do a proper Iyar, which is the point of Nisan. And he points out, and I skipped it. He points out, Lefi Seder, it's the beginning of, I didn't underline it, the beginning of the Shem Yishmol on the first page, Hinei Lefi Seder Leidas HaShvatim, if you go month by month and you put next to it the order of the birth of the 12 tribes, the 12 Shvatim, you'll see that Reuven corresponds to Nisan and Shimon corresponds to Iyar. And think about this, this is crazy, Ben Yisrael points out, Reuven, what is the word found in Reuven? Re'iah. Shimon. What is the word found in Shimon? And they were named after, because God was revealed to me through sight, and that's why Reuven was named Reuven. And Shama, he quotes, Shem Hashem ki ra Hashem, v'shem Shimon Hashem ki Shama Hashem. He quotes it in the second line. That if you look at the reasons why Reuven and Shimon were named that, and it's in the Torah itself, the koach of Re'iyah was the focus of why Reuven was called that, that God saw, that God was revealed to us, or God, we saw God, that God saw us and answered us, and Shimon, this is, I believe, Leah is the one that named them, and Shimon was named that after the koach of Shmia. Now, if Reuven would have been named Shimon, and Shimon would have named Reuven, I don't think we would have said, hey, wait, that's not right. No, it sounds weird now, because we grew up with that, but there's nothing inherently Re'iyah about the first son and Shmia about the second son, except the fact that it is this way and the fact that it lines up with Nisan and Iyar seems quite interesting. That this koach of Re'iyah is inherent in Nisan and this koach of Shmia is inherent in Iyar. And clearly the Iker, the focus is the Shmia, the internalization process, and the Re'iyah is just a preparation for that, says the Shem Yishmuel. And then he quotes this, and then he discusses this last point at the end that I'm going to say outside. The mazalos of the different months. Each month has a different horoscope. You may find it on AOL.com or other different fun websites that we used to see in the 90s. where it seems like they know how you're going to feel today. I think there's a daily horoscope thing that they suddenly know how you're going to feel. Like, oh my God, I so do.
And you read all them and they all do.
Right, and then it's everything. There's, by the way, there's a trick to that. I read, like, it's, like, the way that they do it is they, whatever, I don't even know, I'm spittle Torah, whatever. I don't know why, that's a bad tangent. There are some tangents that just shouldn't take place. Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, I'll allow it. Horoscopes, no way, no way. Okay, but there's a very Jewish, horoscopes are actually a very Jewish thing as well. They're taken very seriously. Not necessarily to say we're going to wake up and be grumpy because that's my horoscope today, but they are known to have very serious influence on different things. People born in different months, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Now, what is the mazal of Nisan? Does anyone know? It is a lamb. No wonder that the sacrifices the Jewish people give. Right. Fine. And what is the mazal of Iyar? It is, what's the name of the ox? Pisces? I don't know either. Good. This is good that we don't know this stuff. But one of them is a bull or an ox. That's Iyar. Now, he quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer, who says, what is the identity of a lamb in terms of how they live their life? Peaceful, nice. No one asks a lamb to do any work. Do you ever see a lamb carrying something down the road? No, never happens. Their life is pretty awesome, if you think about it. They just sit around, eat food, and sometimes shoelaces. And, I think that's it. And then they have kids, and they run around all day. They don't do work. Whereas, what's the life of an ox, if you were a farmer, that is? All day, carrying a big plow, going up and down a huge field, and that's his entire life. And he's only as good as hard as he can work. And it's no wonder that the idea of Nisan is this gift that was handed to us of this life that requires no work. That's simply this beautiful, nice thing, and that's the idea of Nisan. We were handed a gift of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's no secret that Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the result of our efforts, the result of, we didn't earn Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was a gift that was given to us. Whereas Iyar is the point where God says, okay, let's see if you deserved this gift. Let's see if you can earn this gift and acquire it when it comes to Sivan, and that's symbolized by the shore, by the ox. And he goes into several different ways that this analogy exists. He says, not only that, but the shore, the ox, never turns around to see, hey, what are the fruits of my labor? That never happens. The shore just does his work and keeps going. It's kind of a sad thing to think about, sad existence. But there's this idea that the way we are supposed to do our job is we're not supposed to necessarily be so satisfied with our accomplishments. We're supposed to go forward and say, this is what God asks of me. And our tafkid in this world is not to resemble a nice, cushy lamb, but to be more like an ox who is dedicated to their obligations, to their work in life, and that is the reason why we are here. Another comparison is pointed out that lambs or sheep, they exist in herds. You don't see them individually, ever, anywhere. They are one and the same. They are identified by the fact that they live in groups, in large families, in large herds. Whereas an ox, not really so social. You don't really find them hanging out with other family members. In fact, much of Baba Kama is talking about how oxen do not get along with other things, right? They run into other oxen, they run into your neighbors, they run into other people's yards. They just never got the social thing. Fine. They're individuals. And there's the second idea, and this relates, if you're thinking out of the box here, this relates to the fact that Re'iyah is taking in a lot at once. Nisan is seeing a big picture, whereas Iyar is seeing confined, individual things. Nisan, the lamb, is lots, a big group, seeing what the vision of Am Yisrael, the destiny of Am Yisrael, whereas Iyar is, okay, so what's my job today? What am I going to do now? And this reflects itself in other ways in Nisan and Iyar. The Karban Pesach is a karban that is done by Yechinim, but it's an obligation of every single person. It's not like an Ola or Chadas. It's something that everyone has to do on the same night. And yet, what's the mitzvah that we do on Iyar? You have to look a little closely. Sfira Ta'omer. Usfartem Lachem. Every single one of you has to say out loud yourself, today is the so-and-so day of the Omer. And you can't get that done by anyone else. And even if every other person did it, you didn't fulfill your obligation. And what does the word lachem remind you of? Ulekachtem lachem beyom harishon, lulav v'nesrog, which is also defined by it being an individual obligation. You're not allowed to borrow it. You have to own it. You're supposed to not even buy it using a credit card. It's supposed to be with cash or a debit card because it has to be yours. You have to acquire it. Lachem, you, individual. Pesach Rishon, the Karban Pesach, everyone, what happens in Iyar, 15th of Iyar, is Pesach Sheni. What is that? The individuals that somehow didn't get to do it on Pesach Rishon. It's all about the individuals. We go from this idea of seeing the big picture to, okay, now what is my role here in creating this big picture, in being a part of this big picture? And we see that there's this process that exists on many different levels for putting all these pieces together. That Iyar, the Vav, the connecting, we went from identifying the Vav as being this middle child that isn't defined by itself because it's defined by its bookends, by Nisan and by Sivan, and it's really just a facilitator. It gets us from the beginning to the goal, to the end, to the finish line. And yet, if you look at it slightly differently, says the B'nai Yisachar, really Iyar is the be-all and end-all. Iyar is the point of Nisan and Sivan, the process. And the process is why we're here. So it connects Nisan and Sivan, it connects the plan that God had with the goal, it connects our mind, which is really in the realm of fantasy, with our heart, emotionally connecting to something, kavana. It connects our thoughts to our actions. How am I going to actualize what that thought was, what that revelation was? It connects being inspired to actualizing that inspiration. It connects the dream that we have of we're going to leave Mitzrayim, we're going to be this great nation, to reality. Iyar is okay, I'm waking up today. What do I have to do? Do I have to daven? Do I have to do these mitzvahs? What are my obligations? It's the dirty work, but it's what it's all about. Nisan is the big picture, the collective. Iyar is the individual effort, the acquisition. Sivan is the synthesis of Nisan and Iyar. It's the big dream with the practical way of going about actualizing that dream. That is, if you want to define what the Torah is how to practically live your dream. Very cool. It's like if I was a marketing manager for the Torah. Like, live your dream, literally. the Torah, right? Because it's 613 ways to fulfill the dream that God had for the Jewish people and ultimately the universe. If you think about it, when we say She'ibana Beis Hamikdash M'heira B'yameinu, the same Chalkeinu B'sor Secha. It's this idea of we want to build this great reality, and we know that the building of the Beis Hamikdash isn't just so that Karbanos can be built, but it's the restoration of the world to the way it's supposed to be, and not even the Jewish people, but literally the universe, the culmination of history. And right after that, it's V'sein Chalkeinu B'sor Secha. And like, where's my place in this? I want to find my place also. And one could suggest that maybe one is not as important if it doesn't have the other, and it goes both ways. It doesn't matter that the world is restored if no one understands their own place in the world when they wake up that morning, and it doesn't matter if we all get what we're supposed to be doing, but we don't see what we're working towards, what the goal is. Nisan is Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni is the individual, like we said. And if you think about it in the biggest possible terms, and I kind of hinted to this several times already in the shir, that Nisan Iyar Sivan kind of represents the process of which we enter and exit this world. Nisan is the birth. It was the birth of Am Yisrael, but it's also, if you think about it, our own birth, where we have this amazing revelation. We literally open our eyes for the first time. Can't make a bigger revelation than that, than the first moments you open your eyes. Iyar is your entire life. It's the darkness. It's not getting it. It's not having the instruction manual and having to figure it out yourself and having challenges and trying to see light in the darkness. And that's what you do for 120 years. You live Chodesh Iyar. You remember the days before, when it was the beginning, when it was nice, when it was beautiful, when it all made sense. And you're going towards that goal. And what's that goal? Sivan. Matan Torah. Where you meet face to face with God. Where you get the reward. Where you acquire what it is that you were working towards. Right? God gives you your schar for all the things that you worked on in your lifetime. And Sivan is that Olam Haba. And if you think about it, what we're in the middle of is a microcosm of life itself. Chodesh Iyar. So that's pretty lofty. That's a lot to handle, to say, okay, what do I do now? ER, life itself. Okay, how do I... what do I do? but ironically, at the same time, it's celebrating the non-holiday. It's celebrating the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the work week. And the value of the work week, not only that it's underappreciated or that we should pay attention to it, but that it's actually the reason why we have the holidays. The holidays is in order to enhance our ability to do the work week the way we can. The same way Shabbos is supposed to, like we say, it's supposed to help us build towards the end of the week. We have to work towards Shabbos, and it's also supposed to give us energy to get us through the next week. That's what holidays are for. That's what rests are for. But the work week is what it's about. So practically, I think, you know, there's lots of literature of ways to work on things. But practically, I think each person, it's a small suggestion, could take one thing. It could be one thing a week, but that's already maybe aggressive. It's always good to start slowly. But we're in the middle, we're towards the middle of Siras HaOmer, to take one or two things, whether it's split it into 2 weeks and two more weeks, or just work on one thing in the next few weeks as a way of practically preparing for Kabbalas HaTorah. I was talking to my kids and my family this week about how Rav Aaron Lichtenstein passed away. So a major gadol, and he was so major. Does everyone know who that is? He was so major in the fact that it was so hard to appreciate who he was. And that's how unbelievable of a tzaddik that he was and a Talmud Chacham, because it was hard to understand that he finished Shas after he graduated high school at the age of 13, and because he couldn't start college until he was 17, Nebuch, he decided to finish Shas between 13 and 17, and then he started Harvard, and then he was the youngest person ever, and still is, to get a doctorate from Harvard at 25. And we don't know that person, because that person lived a long time ago, but since then he's just a nice, humble man who gave sheer and never asked a lot of himself and passed away. And there was obviously his Talmidim and his the people around the world that he influenced know the type of person he was, but I don't know how many headlines it makes, the way it made headlines for other Rabbanim. One of the things that stood out that his son said at his Levaya was, I don't remember any one time that my father got angry. Now, I remember when I got angry earlier tonight, like within the past 2 hours. And it struck me as someone who went through an entire lifetime, and kids remember stuff. We could probably remember a tense time in our house. Hopefully there wasn't one. But it leaves an impression when there was a stressful moment in our lives. And this person is saying he can't remember one that took place where his father lost his temper in any way. And I talked to my son, because it's easy to lose temper when there are little kids who are grabbing and kneading and running around and all that. And it's easy for the people taking care of them to lose their temper as well. And we talked about how we're going to use this time, Lezecher, or the Ilui Nishmas Ravaron, to try not to get angry. And a few days ago, right after we said that, I found myself almost losing my temper, and then my oldest son runs into the bathroom where I'm sitting with my other son. He's like, Abba, don't get angry. And ironically, at that moment, that actually made me a little more angry. But but he was right. He was right, and it worked. And we found a way to do our little hachana, and obviously specifically focusing on and the Ilui Nishmas Rav Aaron. But that's the type of thing that ER is about. It's about right after saying, okay, we're going to watch our anger, my son has a tantrum, and we're in Choshech. We're not in Nisan, we're in ER, and now I have to figure out how to not lose my own temper, and here we are. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. I almost can't define it for you because it's you. It's Vesein Chel Keinu B'Sor Sech. We have our own Torah that we need to follow. But hopefully we'll use these weeks properly. We'll use them effectively, and we will do a proper Achana and Mir Tashem V'Zochon and Mekal V'Torah and Shavuos. And Shavuot Shalom. Thank you.